Thank you for joining me this week. I'm excited to start with a new series. And really, it has to do with the fact that our society is changing so much rapidly. Matter of fact, I was thinking of this question. Do you ever wonder if the world that you go to sleep in and then you wake up the next day, could it really change that much? I understand that someone who would come back, let's say, 500 years from 500 years ago, they would be shocked when they looked at our world. There would be countries that would be important that weren't hardly anything 500 years ago. And what about medically and technology? I mean, even 50 years makes a huge difference, let alone 10 years. But there's another aspect of it, an aspect that I think indicates that we're living in the last days, because you see, the Bible describes the last day society in this way. There's a lot of verses we could use, but I'm just going to use two, one from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and one from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, in other words, the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. You see, it's a spiritual battle. It's not just a battle of nation against nation. It's not even a battle of technology. It's not trying to survive a plague medically, let's say, or trying to learn new facts academically. But you see, it's a spiritual battle, seducing spirits, doctrines of demon. And we're watching people depart from the faith. Some in the last day church, the Laodicean church, it's apostate. What people do in the name of religion today is almost diabolical. I wonder how God could even stand it. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous times. Spiritually, it is a dangerous time. Oh, yeah, it's dangerous in terms of wars. It's dangerous in terms of all the things that a person can have in terms of chemical threats, biological threats. They say the environment's a threat. Perilous times, dangerous times, and we're watching those. What I'd like to do today, I'd like for us to visit some stories in the news, because this is just a sample of stories that I've seen over the last couple days, and it's so amazing to see how this fits in with this, what I call sick society, this society that indicates we must be living in the last days. Because the Bible says that it will be like the days of Noah. And remember, in the days of Noah, it was evil continually, and we're watching that take place. Let's look at a few of these stories, and you'll see what I'm talking about. For example, this one. Doesn't that look like an innocent ad? Matter of fact, let's listen to the ad, and then we'll talk about it.
My name is Faye Johnstone. I'm the executive director of Wisdom to Action. We can create a world where everyone is able to live in public space as their honest and authentic selves. See the woman changing how we see the future at Hershey's Canada.
Well, I don't know about you, but it sure makes me not want to eat chocolate. And here's why I say that. Because the ad is not just a her-she. No, it's really a him that's trying to change to a she. Notice I said trying to change to a she. And then the ad emphasizes this, your authentic self. How ridiculous can that be? This features a man dressed up like a woman, arguing to be a woman, trying to convince us that she's a woman, and say, be your authentic self. Huh. She's not being authentic at all. She's being a fake. She's deluded. She is demented because Satan has deceived her into thinking that she's not who God created her to be. You see, this is why the idea of creation is so important. This is why it's so important to have a God perspective, a God worldview, a Bible worldview. And so here she is trying to sell us a candy bar and talk about her great horizon to be a he going to a she. What's authentic about that? Matter of fact, my question really would be this. Why in the world would Hershey Candy Bar take on this as a commercial? You see, why can't they just let it alone? Hotels are advertising diabolical ways. Cereals are, shampoos are. I don't know about you. I'm tired of it. Really, I'm tired of it. They must say, we don't want your business. Now, for sure, the majority of people, they're not a he, trying to figure out if they're a she, or a she trying to figure out if they're a he. But I think they're offending enough of us that I really hope that we stop eating chocolate for a while. Oh, don't get me wrong. It's not the food I'm concerned about. It's not the calories I'm concerned about. It's the message that they're trying to send. It's a sick message. You see, society, seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. Let me tell you that that doctrine comes straight from the pit of hell. God has judged homosexuality. God has judged the whole movement. And he will continue to judge it. He's given them time to repent, but there'll be a time when God will judge it. And we're going to see that very soon, because our society is going headlong into it. Well, that's one of the stories in the news, and it's just a typical one, because let me tell you, I could have chosen, like I said, hotels, I could have chosen technology, I could have even chosen shampoos, and I'm tired of seeing every commercial, they got to have, somehow or another, have a homosexual couple in it. Does that really sell a product? I don't think so. Well, here's another story, and this one has to do with a government hearing. And I think when you hear this spot, you're going to say, wow, I felt this exact emotion when you hear someone give a speech like this. Please listen with me.
Misinformation. The greatest perpetrator of misinformation during the pandemic has been the United States government. Misinformation that COVID was spread through surface transmission, that vaccinated immunity was far greater than natural immunity, that masks were effective. Now we have the definitive Cochrane review. What do you do with that review? Cochrane is the most authoritative evidence body in all of medicine and has been for decades. Do you just ignore it, not talk about it? That myocarditis was more common after the infection than the vaccine. Not true. It's 4 to 28 times more common after the vaccine, that young people benefit from a booster. Misinformation. Our two top experts on vaccines quit the FDA in protest over this particular issue, pushing boosters in young, healthy people. The data was never there. That's why the CDC never disclosed hospitalization rates among boosted Americans under age 50. The vaccine mandates would increase vaccination rates. The George Mason University study shows it didn't. It did one thing. It created never-vaxxers who are now not getting the childhood vaccines they need to get. Over and over again, we've seen something that goes far beyond using your best judgment with the information at hand. We've seen something which is unforgivable, and that is the weaponization of medical research itself. The CDC putting out their own shoddy studies, like their own study on natural immunity, looking at one state for 2 months, when they had data for years on all 50 states. Why did they only report that one sliver of data? Why did they salami slice the giant database? Because it gave them the result they wanted. Same with masking study. Well, the data has now caught up in giant systematic reviews, and the public health officials were intellectually dishonest. They lied to the American people. Thank you.
Very pointed, isn't it? Misinformation. Who can you trust? Well, right now we can say this. You certainly can't trust the U.S. government, because they did. They didn't just make up data, but they made up how they reported the data. They reported only a fraction of the data. It was a biased presentation. Why? Well, now we found out that Dr. Fauci is really Dr. Lie. Can you believe that our own government would lie to us? It seems like they would be looking out for the citizens. Seems like they would be looking after the people that put them in office and pay taxes so that they have a salary. But instead, the question is this. So what can you trust? And who can you trust? And now we're finding out you can't trust the U.S. government to report facts. No. Well, let me tell you this. You can trust the Bible and you can trust God. But anytime man is involved in the system, sooner or later, he's going to bias the study. He's going to bias the information. You see, studies mean nothing. And that's why we have people that are all involved in green global carbon footprint stuff. Half of what they're reporting is absolutely bogus. It's not scientific. It's prejudiced. That's why our schools are broken. And so we see lies every day on money. We see lies every day on the truth of wars and financing wars. We see lies every day on medical reports, misinformation, mistrust of the government. You see, that's how come the Bible indicates that people are going to be so tired of this that they're going to almost be relieved when an Antichrist comes and he's going to appear to be honest, but you know what? He's going to deceive them. That's always been the trick of Satan from the very beginning. From Genesis chapter 1 through today, he's a deceiver. He plays dirty. I had someone give a message on the devil. It was powerful. He tries to distract you. He tries to destruct you. He doesn't want one person to live spiritually, and he even likes it when we die physically. But he does play dirty, but he plays for keeps. And that's what's taking place. Misinformation, you see, with lies, and the devil lied to Adam and Eve. Three lies, left out a word, added a word, changed a word around, as enough to get them to fall for the lie. And our government, unbelievable, that they would be among those that we would say, you can't trust them. Wow, what an incredible time we live in. What a society we're living in. You see, there was a day when you could trust those that were elected to office. There was a day when you could trust your neighbor. There was a day when you could trust people in general. But that's gone. We're not getting better. Some of my friends, well there's some that believe that if we just continue to educate people, that people are going to get better and better, and we're going to bring in the kingdom of God by people getting better. My friend, the Bible doesn't say that. And let me tell you this, people are not getting better and better. The sinful nature of man is becoming more and more exposed every single day. Well, that's one of the stories that I think really indicate we're living in the latter days. Here's another one that I really take it and I look at it and I say, wow, can this really be true? But when you hear this short report, I think you're going to understand that we're living in a society that's sick, and we're living in a society that's trying to pervert the God-given values that God placed as a norm for this earth.
My name is Nicole Solis, and I am a mother from Rhode Island who was sued by the teachers' union simply because I wanted to know what my kindergartner would be learning in school. And here's how this happened. I asked to see the curriculum, and my school told me I had to submit a public records request. The curriculum wasn't posted online, and it wasn't available in a school district. Then I asked them if they were teaching gender theory, and they told me that they don't call children boys and girls, and they embed the values of gender identity into every classroom, including kindergarten, and they didn't want to answer any of my questions further. They told me that they would communicate with me only through public records requests, and that is the only way I could get my questions answered. And when I did submit the public records request that they told me to submit, and I submitted hundreds because I had hundreds of questions, my school board then put my name on the agenda of a public school board meeting and held a public school board meeting to discuss suing me for submitting the request that they told me to submit. In a 5-hour long school board meeting, they openly debated my moral character, my political motivations. They said that I was causing chaos, wreaking havoc, harming the district, harming children. One school board member even said she felt unsafe and started to cry because, as you see, I'm really scary standing here right now. And they really just tarred and feathered me for asking questions. And they had never met me before. And this was the first school board meeting that I had ever been to in my life. They wanted to send a message to other parents that if you ask questions, they will come after you. Well, at the end of this meeting, they decided that they wouldn't sue me for asking questions because they never intended on actually suing me. They just wanted to publicly humiliate me in a school board meeting that was a show trial. And when that happened, then the teachers union, the largest teachers union in the country, the NEA, did file a lawsuit against me to bully me and harass me with frivolous litigation and to send a message to other parents that if you ask questions about public education, they will come after you.
What a video. What a testimony. You know what? When I read the Bible, I see that parents have rights. And the right of a parent for their child is greater than the right of a school board for a child. The school board does not own that child. God gave children to parents. That's the biblical way. And when our society loses that value framework, then we're treading on a very serious ground. parents' rights are way more important than a school board's rights. You know what? For them to threaten to sue her, for them to make the statement, I'll read it for you. It says, if you ask questions, we will come after you. I think there's a way to cure this, and that is pull your kids out of public school. Yeah, you know what? That's why I feel so strongly about a Christian school. Because you see, the curriculum is Bible-based. The curriculum is God-centered. That's so valuable. I know many of you watching have Christian values, biblical values. We must take our kids out. That's the only way to get them to understand that what they're doing is wrong. It's a sign of a sick society. It's a sign that Jesus is coming soon. I used to have people tell me, well, I'm leaving my kids into the public school system because someone's gotta change that system. Folks, you're not changing the system. Your children are becoming victim to the system. There's a way to go to Christian schools. Most schools will give you financial aid of some kind. There's a way to homeschool. Thank God for the homeschools because sometimes there's not a suitable Christian school around. Thank God even for the private schools that don't have an agenda. But the public schools are changing history. They're threatening to sue parents. They say that a parent does not have the right to look at the curriculum that they're teaching their child. You see, every area is being attacked sexually. They're attacking a family's values. They're attacking it academically. The standards they have, we're going to talk about that in a minute. They're pathetic. They're going down and down. And that's what motivated me to start a school because I saw there was nothing patriotic in the school. This was 40 years ago. There was nothing godly in a school. There wasn't even good academics in many of them. Spiritually, there's nothing there. You know what? The teachers' union has become a liability to this country. They have their own agenda. It has to do with not teaching. It has to do with a political agenda. So physically, they're encouraging kids to change their identity? This is ridiculous. You see, we find in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus grew in four ways. He grew physically, he grew spiritually, he grew socially, he grew in his mental capacity. Every one of these four areas are the basic four areas that every student has, every parent has got their child, their son or daughter entrusted to the school system to see them achieve and to grow in those areas. And my friend, they're abusing that right. And so I say, wow, this is an indicator because you see, if they steal your children, it won't be long and they'll have exactly where they want us to be. I really think these are indicators of the last day. Because you see, before, I think it was Hitler who said, you give me one generation, I'll change the world. All he wanted was one generation of school. We're watching it take place. You might think it's not affecting your child. It is. I'm watching kids come out of college. I'm watching kids come out of high school. You notice I'm calling them kids. And their values are changing. Why? Because they're hammered with it every day. Wow. We must wake up. We must see that we have a great responsibility for God, for our own children. And then here's another story. This one has to do with the merit system. And I talked to you about Columbia University because Columbia University has always had a reputation of being academic excellence. But I found it quite strange when it said Columbia University will no longer require an SAT or an ACT score in its undergraduate admissions. I mean, the school that was supposed to be elite academically, and now they're saying that it doesn't matter. Could it be that we're losing standards of all kinds? I watched a very unusual hearing this week. It was the man who the administration has put forward for the new director of FAA. And this man, for 2 hours, refused to answer a single question. FAA, flight. The chief flight official in our country, and he could answer nothing about a plane. He could answer nothing about landing. He could answer nothing about any safety precaution. Why did he have merit for the job? The answer is no. He was being placed there because he was a minority. He was being placed there because he rounded out the political quota. But he wasn't there because he was excellent in his academic knowledge or in his practical knowledge, or because he had training that we know. He was there as a token. How sad. Merit is gone. You know what? When we have no standard, I can promise this, the bar will drop. And so look at this. No college test scores are now required for many of the universities. For law school, you don't have to take the LSAT. For med school, soon some, you don't have to take the MedCat. Why? Why did doctors in the past study if it wasn't necessary? Do you see what a joke this is? Let me tell you this. I hope my doctor took the MedCat and passed it well. And I don't care what ethnicity they are, but I hope that they're a good doctor, qualified doctor. That's what we're looking for. Qualified teachers, qualified doctors, qualified people. But merit is gone. You see, it's all political favor. It's all deception. Wow. You see, when I say we're living in a sick society, isn't it amazing? The first Ivy League school, I mean, Ivy League used to be looked at as the top of the ladder. And now they're saying, Columbia says, we don't even think we're going to require SATs. I'm not saying you get everything from a standardized test. No, that's not my point. My point is this. They're dropping all standards. And when there's no standards, I can tell you this, we soon sink to the bottom of the barrel. Our kids are better than this. Your children are better than this. Your grandchildren are better than this. As a nation, we're better than this. What's wrong with standards? What's wrong with winners and losers? What's wrong with working hard to get up to the standard? I think that's what would please God. Our society is sick. Our education is sick. Our government's sick. We're living in a dangerous time. I think we're living in the last days. But I save maybe the worst for last, because not just the academic aspect of it, not just the advertising and business aspects of it, but you know what? As well, the spiritual, and I'm going to tie it together with the entertainment and the social. Oh my goodness, you talk about something that's slipping and losing standards. Watch this. This is from Brazil. They have a whole party, a whole scheme, and I'm just going to play parts of it for you. I know you can get online and get way more of it, but I think this few clips, just a few seconds. Can you believe an oversized devil with an oversized tongue? People dancing, clapping for him, raising their hands to recognize him. Yeah. Have we absolutely gone completely crazy? A sick society, a sick world. You see, it's people don't want to worship Jesus Christ, but we're willing to worship the devil. I can't even imagine a float this huge going down a main street and people cheering and applauding. Oh, it gets worse. Look at this one.
Twisted things happened at the carnival in Brazil.
The amount of blasphemy I'm about to show you is actually disturbing. Here we see some dude levitating corpses out of their own grave. Now, this just pissed me off. The devil dragging Jesus Christ on the ground. If that didn't make you mad enough to top it off, he stabs him to the ground. This float is representing the Garden of Eden with the serpent and the apples in front of it. And then in the middle of the float, we see Adam and Eve dancing in a fountain sexually. Like, oh, what? I mean, I can't even believe what I'm seeing right now. And I don't know what this is supposed to be, and I don't think I want to know, because there's people dancing in cages. Here's another flow. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's an oversized devil. Next, there's an owl god, and if you search up owl god, you get the mala. Supposedly, this is celebrated right before Lent, and is that why it's so satanic? That really doesn't make sense to me. I feel like it should be the exact opposite of this. And I'm not just picking and choosing all of the satanic stuff. This is literally 99% of the things going on there. I mean, is that Jesus Christ hanging in front of everyone? How are these people going to bed at night after doing this? I mean, even if you're not religious, this kind of stuff is just hard to watch.
Yeah, it's real hard to watch. You see, we live in a sick society. My friend, this has to be obnoxious to God. This is the God of the Bible, who, when the old priest did sacrifices that were out of order. God had to judge them. This is a holy God that said, your sacrifices, your incense, they bring a miserable smell to my nose because they're so godless. I look at this. This is godless. Can you imagine a float with hanging bats and hanging Jesus and almost mockery and making the devil the hero of the parade? A sick society. Have we lost all of our reason? Let me tell you this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I like that, to triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. Let me tell you this. God will triumph over this godless system. That's why it's going to be necessary for Him to come back and to rapture, to take those out that know Christ. We're on the brink of that taking place. And my friend, today, I hope you're prepared if Jesus were to come today. God will not continue to put up with this much longer. I look at the slide down of our society. I look at the slide down of our schools. I look at the slide down of our churches, our professing churches. I see these religions coming together, all dropping doctrine and just a feel good. God is sick of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God. I know that we're no match for the devil. I know that we're outnumbered by the world. But you see, our sufficiency is God. And let me tell you this, God has already defeated the devil on the cross, and He's going to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet, and we're going to be part of the victory march. Thanks be unto God. Why? Because He gives us triumph. He gives us victory. Our sufficiency, it's God. It's not us. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to take a stand for Jesus Christ. I think it's important. I think we've been quiet too long. I think we need to tell people, you know, I'm offended by those movies. I'm offended by what Disney's doing. I'm offended by what these cereal companies are advertising, by what candy bars are advertising. We don't have to put up with that. But as we do that, let's tell them that there is a solution, and that solution is Jesus Christ. You see, God loves sinful man so much that in the garden He went searching for Adam and Eve after they sinned. Can you imagine that? God said, God, look for them. Why? Not to harm them. He wanted to bring them back. And my friend, God is searching for mankind today, and that's why He sent Jesus from heaven as a man to die on the cross, shed His blood, to come alive from the dead, and He gives life to anyone who will receive Him. My friend, today, would you receive Him? My friend, today, would you tell people about Jesus Christ, a sick society, but a triumphant God? Thank you for joining me today.